Aloha kakou. We're going to start our mayoral forum now. So find a seat. If you didn't have a seat, there were some places to squeeze in earlier. There's also some cushy chairs on the side if you want to have a nice time watching your mayors. I want to introduce our mayoral candidates. There's Felicia Cowden, Mel Raposo, Michaela Widener, Laura Ann Lindsay, Magessa William Dennis, and Bernard Carvalho. So these are our candidates. They'll be speaking today. The forum is much the same as the last one. We have 6 questions this time, and there will be 1 minute for each question to be answered. And then you'll have the signs up here. Can we do the signs? You have 30 seconds, 15, and pow. And I'm very serious about 1 minute, because there's not a lot of time, and we got a lot of big issues here on Kauai. So I want to thank Malama Kauai one more time for organizing this candidate forum. I would like to thank HAPA for being the moderators tonight. There's Aria with the timekeeping, and Annie Fredericks, she will be asking the questions. My name is Annie, and I'm from Kauai Community Radio. You'll be able to hear a recording of this event on the radio on Monday, and we'll also have it on the archives on our website. Thank you very much. I'll turn it over to you.
Okay. Well, thank you all mayoral candidates for being here. Okay. I'm going to go ahead and just jump into your first question. We'll start with Mel Raposo. What is the single most impactful thing you've done for Kauai that demonstrates your previous work and commitment to the community?
Thank you for the question. It's kind of hard to narrow it down to one. I think asking the right questions over the years, holding our administration and departments accountable, and really speaking up and responding to our constituents. I do consider myself the most responsive council member. I ain't bragging. A lot of people reach out to me. If you're on Facebook, you see I get tagged a lot because I do respond. And I think when you look at the job of a council member, more so as a mayor, one of the top priorities is really to include the constituents and have them engage and encourage them to engage and participate in government. If we don't have an engagement in community, we really don't have a good government. So I think just my ability to respond and connect with the constituents is pretty much the most impacting thing that I've done.
Thank you. Felicia Cowden.
All right, Felicia Cowden. And I would say, as my byline on my banners is, people first leadership, and that's followed me throughout everything I've done. So whether it's working with my constituents in the county or in my business that I had for 18 years, Hanalei Surf Company, or the students that I have raised, I have been able to really touch the lives in a meaningful way of many people, whether that's helping them to become pro surfers, amazing watermen that are eventually saving us in our ocean safety and our fire departments, incubated so many businesses, really been able to develop people. And I think that that's in many ways what government is about, and that's strengthening the creativity and the empowerment of the individual. And I, in council and as mayor, you know, I look at all of you as people that I really need to serve, uplift, and empower. So that's been my life mission, and it will continue.
Thank you. Magessa William Dennis.
Thank you. Since I came to the island, it was my pleasure to assimilate to the culture, because I believe that the island is losing its cultural identity. So in coming here, I came to sit down and met with the homeless groups, met with the local leadership, met with the different businesses of the island, and got to learn from the people and the Kanakamai people, helping them navigate the court systems to protect their property, helping them understand their rights and how they can move forward as a free, independent, sovereign nation state, because this island needs to return to its identity. We need to be free, independent, and island independent, and limit ourselves away from foreign interference. So I bring my business leadership. I was a former Fortune 500 businessman. I have regulation compliance. I understand businesses. I understand dealing with labor unions, positions and the such. Thank you.
Thank you. Michaela Widener.
I would have to say that the most impactful thing that I did as an individual for my community was helping with the homeless during COVID. So there was large camps, and in these camps there was children and infants, mentally unstable, physically handicapped people, and we worked round the clock for months making sure that they had food, clothes, diapers, formula, health services. We would go out there and clean these camps because they were at our beaches, so making sure that this was done in a decent and respectful manner in helping these people still retain some sort of dignity as we face this crisis together as a community. And that's what really inspired me to come up with my Tiny Homes for the Houseless plan. You know, as a community, it's our job to take care of each other, and I did that with my friends, all taking care of each other, especially our most vulnerable neighbors.
Thank you. Bernard Carvalho.
Yes, aloha. Well, I bring to the table a wealth of understanding and knowledge in different parts of government, from being a civil servant to department head to mayor and then council member and then coming back again. And my style of leadership is collaborative, reaching out, listening to the voice of the people, surround myself with a great team that can reach out and hear the voice of the people first, and bring it back and make the decisions that is important for our island home. And I look forward to serving once again at that level in assuring that we can reach out, listen and hear, and bring back to the people what you folks are really requesting. I have the understanding again on how that is done, and I look forward to serving at that level and making sure that you know that you have the voice, your voices will be heard. So mahalo.
Thank you. Laura Ann Lindsay.
Aloha. Ann is my middle name, but on the ballot it's Andaya Lindsay. Not that it matters, but just so we get it right, it's the first box on the top. So technically I'm your first choice for mayor on Kauai. You know, the question being the most impactful, honestly, after, you know, 3 or 4 decades, there's a lot of things that I can see, but I don't feel like it's me impacting. I feel like it's always us impacting. You know, we always work together and find out what the needs of our community are. And within our community, we can meet the needs of each other. Right now, in my day job, in a nonprofit, we're working with the most vulnerable people, and we have a lot of need on Kauai that we need to get together to solve these issues, and we can do it. We have all the resources, we have all the talent, and I think we have the will. We just gotta get our kokoa together. Thank you.
Thank you, candidates. We're gonna move on to the second question. We'll start with Felicia and just go down the line. Okay. Have you read the 2030 Kauai Food Access Plan, and if so, what do you think you can do to support the plan if elected?
I have read the, what did you call it, the Food Access Plan? There's a number in there, but the Food Access Plan, I've definitely read it. I live it. I have food production in my yard. It's called Akamai Backyard. I have permaculture. I haven't watered my yard in probably 6 years. I have ambient conditions that it works on. So I know that we can create a lot of food and create it without a lot of effort. I'm also on the board of Nourish Kauai, and I was on the founding part of that, where we provide food for Kapuna, where we're out there looking after people every week as we stop by and see them. I pay a lot of attention to the food banks. I think food resilience is essential. I was a founding member of a food forest in Kilauea, and I'm very much a part of the beginning of Kauai Ag Park in Kilauea.
Thank you. Mel Raposo.
What, did I read it, and what was the second part of the question?
Have you read the 2030 Kauai Food Access Plan, and if so, what do you think you can do to support the plan if elected?
Awesome. Well, I did read it, and I actually printed it out. It's pretty cool. Appreciate you guys doing that. I think going out to all the different, the locals, all the different communities, and understanding what their needs and their opportunities are. is an amazing help. If elected mayor, I would be looking at partnering with organizations like Malama Kauai. We are the Garden Island folks, and yet we don't have that many gardens, and we need to really expand agriculture, expanding our economic development office. We have one ag person in our economic development office, one. And right now, she's an awesome worker. She's focused on that stinking beetle that we saw outside. But we need to be focusing on how do we expand our ag production on Kauai. This plan, this little plan that I just read, is a great start for us. And I plan to, as mayor, I plan to work with Malama Kauai and the other organizations to really make it happen. Thank you.
Thank you, Michaela Widener.
I love this plan. I love this plan so much because it fits in perfectly with my plan. So I, as mayor, would invest in municipal grocery stores with commercial kitchens attached. And this is going to work perfectly with this food access plan because farmers and community garden growers can sell directly to our municipal grocery stores as well as local food vendors. All the people outside selling food, you could buy that at our municipal grocery store. They could put it in the frozen food aisle. We could single-handedly put Safeway and Costco out of business. So I would definitely use the money to invest in these municipal grocery stores with commercial kitchens to give access to our farmers to cut out the middleman so that they could sell directly to the community. And as a community, we can also spread the word to all the tourists. I work in the service industry. All the time they're saying, where's the local food? All we have to say is, it's at the county municipal grocery store, right there, down the street.
Laura Lindsay?
Oh, I thought it was going in the same order. I wasn't quite ready. What she said. So I work with food pantries, and I find that we have a lot of nonprofits and a lot of churches working really hard, and we're being really inefficient. So similarly, I would like to partner so that we can create spaces where not only is a food bank food accessible, but the farmers can like drop and run, where we'll have prearranged agreements so that they can get just healthy food and also canned food if they need it, but mostly like real healthy food. Our farmers said one of the challenges, everything in the plan, I didn't have to read it because I already knew, is they don't have to, if we do it this way, they don't have to take time out to do the markets. You know, they can spend their time doing what they do best, which is farming. And we can address all the food insecurity of our families. Our working families cannot get to the food pantries during certain hours. So if we have a regular grocery store hours, it'll be available to all of our families, and everybody can eat healthy.
Thank you. Magesso William Dennis.
Thank you very much. Yes, I read the plan. I'm all for food independence. That's by primary platforms. I also know within the plan they're looking for more farmers. We need to educate more farmers. We need to have more land, more agriculture. As we train more farmers, they can become certified growers. We're also looking for community housing in the farms. I believe that as well, that we can build those, again, to expand our economy, build small, tiny homes or prefab homes where the farmers would have a place to live, and then they can expand the food industry as well. The food pantry is a very great program. We need to expand that as well. We need food distribution centers. We need community gardens in all our locals. Six mokers throughout the island. So I believe in total food independence and stop depending on food from outside sources. We should be exporting our foods. And this plan should not take until 2030. It should start today.
Thank you. Bernard Carvalho.
Yes, we created a Hola Hola 2020 plan for Kauai, which included cultural parks and the agricultural park in Kilauea, Aina Huakupu Kilauea. So that footprint, that park right there, we started that park, and I want to do a park for every single local. Halalea, Ko'olau, Puna, Kona, each moku should have a cultural park. May not be the same footprint, but it will be the same footprint, but different levels on that we serve each part of our island. The moku system is very important because it lays out the water system, the land system, culturally connected. Before we make the decisions on what we're going to do, it has to be connected back to the aina and the land. And that's the moku system that we currently have in place, and we look forward to making sure that each moku has the option and opportunity to bring into that area a cultural agricultural park that we can call it, and made up of different levels of ag that can serve the people of our beautiful island of Kauai. Mahalo.
Thank you so much. We're going to move on to our next question. We'll start with Bernard and go down the line that way. What would be your top three priorities if elected mayor?
Okay, first, landfill. We've got to get our landfill going, everybody. Making sure that our landfill is sited. We did leave, when I left office, on location, on Olive site, which involved community building, which involved a landfill that was going to be reduced, recycle kind of layout, and then there was a landfill. That was a vision at that time. And local, but that has to be number one. Number two, of course, housing is number one. Number two, the top three, housing overall. I think we need to look more at gap housing right now, too, as well, and how we can really keep our children in our families home. I think that's one of the bigger ones as well. And, of course, wastewater. We've got to look at that and address that. We're working right now on seeing how we can convert and making sure that we have a system in place can address our issues on our island to assure that we can manage our wastewater system to a point where Kauai can thrive and we can really reach out and reap the benefits of bringing resources back home with the experience that I have to make sure that from the federal, state, and county levels, the resources are done for the wastewater programs here on Kauai.
Thank you. Miguezo William Dennis.
Thank you. Before we get into housing, we have to improve the economy, the cost of living. We have to lower the cost of living. Right now, we're dependent on all our food from outside sources. So when you look at that, when food comes in, we're paying inflated prices. So we need to stop the food from coming in. We need to have food going out. We need to keep money on this island. Same thing with outside businesses that we depend on, where we pay tariffs. We need to develop our local workforce where they can develop the programs that we need here to keep the money again flowing within the county. Because when people have money in their pockets, they're buying locally made Hawaiian goods, products, and services. We need to be self-sufficient. Then it would be housing, then it would be infrastructure, and my fourth priority is protecting the rights of all people, your retained rights and your constitutional rights. Thank you.
Laura Lindsay.
Top three, that's tough. So what they said, but we can't build housing without infrastructure, so we gotta do infrastructure first. That way people who already own land can build their own housing and don't have to wait for us. There's no way we're going to build our way out of this crisis. It's going to take each one of you to do what you can do and the county to support that in all the ways the county does. We're planning, permits, water. We just got to kukua better and make that more streamlined. Our social safety net is severely, severely broken. And it's going to be worse. There's many cuts coming down. I get a lot of calls all the time from seniors and families. So we need to strengthen that up because we're only as good as the worst person in our community. We cannot thrive if everybody's not okay. So I got to make everybody okay. And we got to make everybody okay. And I'm going to take all of you to do that.
Thank you. Michaela Widener.
Top three. So we got to be realistic. We can't keep building with an obsolete infrastructure without it blowing up in our face at some point. And we have a water system that is going to take about $1.3 billion to correct. Joseph Tate has done a lot of work on this, and I would work directly with him to see what we can do about it as quickly as we can. You know, I read his article, and he said that we're at risk of becoming the next Lahaina. And that's very serious, and I take that seriously. So infrastructure first. It has to be. We have to do infrastructure first. Second thing is our social economic circle. And like I said, municipal grocery stores, community gardens, tiny homes for the houseless. And the reason why that's important, a person does not have
to first change their life around in order to earn the basic right to housing. Instead, housing is the prerequisite that allows other problems to be solved. We get these people into the workforce, we get this food into our municipal grocery stores, we stop bringing waste to the landfill, we make new facilities.
Mel Raposo.
Thank you. As you know, in inauguration, I'll sign two emergency proclamations, one for wastewater, one for solid waste. Solid waste, we're in a crisis right now because of the failure to act over the last 20 years. That includes a very aggressive push for curbside recycling. We need curbside recycling right now, and we cannot hold that off any longer. But we need to get to the root of the problem, which is the trash. And then the third thing is, how many of you get stuck in traffic all the time? So while this might not be on anyone else's priority list, it is on mine. We got to start negotiating and working with these private landowners to open up alternate routes off the Canefield roads, because it is not fair and right, and it's not about a convenience issue, ladies and gentlemen. It's about a safety issue, an evacuation crisis. If we get a natural disaster, where are we going to go and how are we going to get there? It is on those roads that are waiting for us to improve and use, and that is something I'll make happen right away. Thank you.
Felicia Cowden.
All right. Well, we're all pretty much in agreement with what is critically important. And number one, we have to fix the infrastructure. And that does include these alternate routes and being able to handle in any kind of emergency. So that's a very big piece of it. Housing our people, it comes riding along with it. But we've done a very good job of putting about 2,000 houses into it. We can tell from the traffic and many other things that our infrastructure is pushed to the edge. So we have to get our infrastructure in there, and then as we're discussing the affordability of living, and I think that we have so many rules, so many regulations, it's not impossible. It's like being in a game of Twister. You know, we have to be able to have efficiency so that people can solve their problems quickly. So housing, infrastructure, roads, and then this affordability, because I'd say the biggest challenge that we have is we're pushing everybody off the island, and we won't even have a workforce left. So we have to fix it.
Thank you. We're going to move on to our next question. Laura Lindsay will be the first respondent. How would you approach managing county agencies? What needs changing, and what are we doing well?
Honestly, Mayor Kawakami did a great job bringing us from 1940 to, I think we're like in 1980 now. So, I mean, we had a lot to overcome in county government, like a lot, like so much. So we took like a huge step, but we're not even where we could be. So given the more implementation of the technologies that exist, efficiencies that exist with scheduling, paperwork, payment processes, I think we just got a kiosk out on the west side, hallelujah. I would like to do a satellite city hall in that mall, thank you very much. So you don't even have to come past San Pepe, you can do all your county business over there. So there's so many things that we can make it easier for our community to do their Kuleana, and we can be way more efficient in our processes.
Thank you. Bernard Carvalho.
I think overall you've got to really look at our entire permitting process and how everything is structured internally. We worked in many different departments, from public works to parks to all the different parts of government. But to me, I would, as we reevaluate everything, because we're restarting to the community, like I said earlier, but at the same time, reevaluating our entire permitting process and looking at ways to make it simpler, looking at ways to reach out and connect and bring the right resources back, because I'm telling you, there's so much that needs to be done to allow and help the people to manage what they want to get through government, and at the same time, reap the benefits for moving forward. I think that's a big, big part. So as mayor, that was one of the bigger parts of working internally to ensure that we have that whole internal part moving in the right direction and with the right people at the table and the interests of the people's hearts and souls on the table and giving back to you folks. And that's my goal.
Thank you. Michaela Widener.
First off, audit. I would do an audit. Secondly, I agree. The permit office moves at a snail's pace, and that's one of my biggest things that I've been trying to look into. Why is it going so slow? There's so many people that are waiting on the permit office. There's a lot of people right now who can't even open their businesses because they're waiting on the permit office. So I want to figure out, does it need more staffing? Is there a problem in the process? Like, do they need more education? What is the issue? And I've been trying to do my best to gain access to these things, but I am in an active campaign, so a lot of my questions can't be answered until after the campaign is over. So I've been asking questions, but I do have limited access. A lot of my emails haven't been responded to, but I'm doing everything that I can. And if you get me in there, I will figure it out.
Thank you. Magissa William Dennis.
Thank you. As a businessman, I understand stakeholder, shareholder, and the people. The problem with our government currently, when I sit down with my administration, I'm going to say, the priority is the people. We're running people for this government. And if people are not happy and have money in their pockets, businesses aren't thriving. We have to work from the bottom up. And the foundation of this island are the people. And we want to keep all businesses thriving within this county. No more reliance on the outside foreign interests, no special interests, people first issues. So I said, how are you going to get along with the council when they have a dispute? Well, there are no disputes, because the answer is, how does it benefit the people? How are we improving the quality of life of every individual on this island? And that starts from the neighborhood, to the community, to the island, and the county. Bottom-up approach, people first. Thank you.
Thank you. Felicia Cowden.
Well, my private sector background really informs how I would like to change the public sector. And that is where we have a lot more focus on coordinated objectives and goals where they all match together, and I would be having either monthly or bi-monthly meetings with department heads, so we're always looking to see where we're at, where we think we're going to be at, and we're able to recognize a problem, and I would work with every way we can with the Sunshine Laws that the council would be able to come to that, so would Chamber of Commerce, those things on a quarterly basis, so that we're identifying wherever we're going to have a leak or a problem in our strategies, and that what we don't do is find out with 6 days' notice that we need to get some big funding budget bill, or that we bought a piece of property that's already in escrow and we've got 6 days' worth of notice. What I want is the public and the council and all the departments to be working in the same coordinated goals, and that greater transparency.
Thank you. Mel Raposo.
One of the most common complaints we get from the constituents is the lack of responsiveness from the administration. As your mayor, I will start an office of professional accountability, one phone number, one office to take all calls, and that complaint will be, or constituent concern will be tracked, logged, routed to the right agency, so you don't have to go figure out who you got to call. And then I get the report as the mayor every 2 weeks to see what is outstanding. So, and if it requires the mayor's intervention, that will happen. But that'll keep the department heads accountable. That'll keep the administration accountable to the people, because it's not happening right now. That's one of the bigger reasons I'm running, is because I want to make sure that our constituents get the attention that they deserve and that they pay for. And the only way I can see it is if it comes through one office, because when your department heads, as was talked over in your department head meetings, I've been in some of those, they tell the mayor wants to hear. Well, the mayor needs to hear from the people, and they need to understand exactly what is happening so the corrections can be made. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. We're going to move on to our next question. We'll start with Bernard Carvalho and move down the line. Do you believe we need to diversify the economy beyond tourism? If so, to what industries and how?
Obviously, tourism is a big part of who we are in Hawaii, but especially in Kauai. My whole family was involved in tourism. And we just got, it's all about balance. And tourism is at the forefront, of course, in many different ways. But we've got to balance everything out. And as mayor, I'm going to numerous opportunities to balance the different departments and the different levels of government to assure that
that, whether it be housing, whether it be tourism, whether it be just in general information flow throughout the county, that as mayor, the biggest part was to ensure that we reach out, we connect, and bring the resources back. And then at the same time, ensure that the resources go back out. So that's how I would manage that and look at that again, and ensure that we make sure that the people have been heard. And that's the biggest part for me.
Thank you. Magesso, William Dennis.
This again goes to island independence. We want to bring businesses in that are going to fill the gaps that keeps all our businesses and services here on the island of Kauai. So businesses come in, for example, as we look at our infrastructure, we go to maybe micro waste management systems, that we will develop a workforce locally that they have to hire our local residents so we're not losing our people off island. So any business that supports the growth of the individual, the individual person on this island is what I'm for. And that's what people force governance is. We don't need to depend on the outside. We're spending too much time working with the United Nations and their global programs, when we can do all these programs ourselves. And we got into this problem because of COVID. Now, COVID shut down 40% of our small businesses. It ruined many lives. Foreclosures, we cannot allow that to happen again. This is why we need a change in leadership, because business fault came from the people that are unfamiliar with them. Change is what we need.
Thank you. Laura Lindsay.
Okay, I see it like this. We have this economy that's doing this, and it's leaving a lot of people over here out of it. And we can't stop one, because we'll die. So you have to keep that going. But while we're doing that, while we're maintaining the economy that we have, we can begin to build our own mutual aid, our own local economy, by strengthening our small businesses and our farmers, and get it built so that we can eventually overcome this dependence that we have. So we have to do two things at once. I think we can. I think we can multitask. Just by show of hands, anybody out here have a small business? Thank you. So you guys are paying attention, and you're registered, and you're going to vote. The other challenge is we got to get people to register and vote, because if people don't get involved, if we do not take extreme ownership of our island, we're screwed. So that's my challenge to all of you.
Michaela Widener.
I'm going to explain how we do that with circular economy. So circular economy is creating a closed loop system for our community. It takes out shipping, it takes out people from outside, and it brings everything back to us. And the way that this works is we're going to create a pickup composting recycling system made with decentralized MRF facilities. So these are smaller facilities where we don't have huge trucks driving around the entire island. It's more localized. We're going to use the municipal grocery stores to help support our local business owners and our local farmers. And we're going to, it works like this. The garden grows the food. The food goes to the store. The people buy the food. They use the scraps for our compost and recycling. It goes back to the farmers who grow more food. It goes back to the store. And everybody else that's using the food in their small businesses, they can sell it at the store as well. So we've created a closed loop system. This is going to create jobs for all of the people that need to build the facilities and run the facilities and make this work. But it takes all of us.
Mel Raposo.
Thank you. Yes, tourism is kind of the backbone, but I think agriculture, as I stated earlier, I think it's an untapped market that we got to really expand, and I think we do that through economic development. Also, one of the things that I do as mayor is, in the first year of office, is really inform and educate the public. We would need a charter amendment, but I would like to create a county department of agriculture. That would give us the bandwidth to really explore and expand our farming opportunities here in Kauai. The other industry that is kind of gone right now is the film industry, but I will tell you, I'm not interested in the Hollywood film industry. I am really excited about the potential of Kauai being the film festival capital of the state. We have all of our middle schools right now teaching our kids this wonderful technology of filmmaking and nowhere to present. And I think we can fill that gap right here locally. So agriculture for sure, Department of Agriculture, and putting our resources where they need to be. Thank you.
Thank you. Felicia Cowden.
All right. And so we have to mix that local economy and the global economy. Global economy comes over here through tourism in different ways, certainly in the way people invest. One of the things I think we need to do, and the county can help, is we really need to invest in our young people in the trades. We have to have, like when I was in high school, mostly the boys, but they all went through the trades. And when we look at where there's actually money to be made, that's where it is. And what we see when companies come over and put in the roads or do a lot of these projects, they are bringing all those workers over. I would really like to make it be such that they hire here and hire locally, and so that we're able to really be building up our own places and keeping our own people in their houses. But we have certainly there's film, but we're moving into a whole new world and economy where people can educate themselves online and where they can express their talents online. So whatever way, too, that people here can do their amazing selves for everywhere else. I have a lot more to say, but there we go.
It's hard. Thank you. We're going to move into our final question. This is not really working. I'm going to be loud. Okay, last question is, how should the county address housing challenges for farmers and local families while also protecting agricultural lands from excessive development? And we'll start with Mel Raposo.
The first thing is, and a bill we're working on right now on limiting what kind of buildings you can put on ag. If it's not an accessory to ag, then you can't build it. No swimming pools, no tennis courts, none of that stuff. Ag is ag, and it should be preserved for that. The other thing is allowing, you know, there's a huge opposition to modular homes or container homes right now, mainly from the labor unions. But that is one area, that is one way we can bring down the cost of construction of homes relatively quickly and easily, and that is something that I would pursue. Obviously, I do not support modular homes or container homes that are being flown in from other countries, because I want those projects or those homes, those packages to be built by our local employees here in Hawaii. But again, it's just bringing down the cost of construction, which is what's holding a lot back. And of course, regulation, as was said by several others about the permitting, the septic tank cesspool conversion issue is going to be a big problem for many of our ag owners. So a lot to be done, but I think that there's much opportunity here. Thank you.
Thank you. Felicia Cowden.
All right. Thank you for that question. I would say across the planet and throughout history, our species has lived in clans, and on ag land, that's a very natural way for it to be. And I think if we're allowed to build houses where it's almost more central kitchen, almost like a family compound, even if it's not everybody directly in the same family, so that they can efficiently run the farm, share their tools, all of that, because living on your farm is really one of the easiest and best ways to be able to make things work, and not just one family can do it. Typically, you need quite a few. So I think being able to have a little bit more flexibility where you have the big central kitchen, I think, because I'm friends with a whole lot of these farmers, and that's absolutely what they need. So I think that we need to adapt for that, and it certainly is a lot less impact than it is to put a luxury house on what is much of our farmland. So I think that is one direction of doing it, and okay, out of time again.
Thank you. Magesso, William Dennis.
Yeah, I'm all for developers making money, but part of the problem with our developers is they pass all the costs on to the homeowner. So we're about tax relief. So the developers should pay their fair share. When it comes to the farming housing, I mentioned it before, we need community farming housing in every local. We also need to lower that cost, and we can build prefabs and tiny homes and modular homes for under $100,000. We don't need to be, they call affordable living, $400,000, that's ridiculous. We have the method, we have the local talent, we have the local resources, we can use our unemployed houseless people to build their own homes, to build computer cottages on the side with those little gardens as well. So we can do that throughout our local and our POI system, which is the most sophisticated system in the world, and self-sustainable and self-reliant. I say we turn all the power back to the people of Kauai.
Michaela Widener.
Can you repeat the question again?
Yes. How should the county address housing challenges for farmers and local families while also protecting agricultural lands from excessive development.
So one of the biggest problems why we have a housing crisis is because of the luxury builds on our ag lands. And like everybody else said, we need to close these loopholes that billionaires are taking advantage of, first and foremost. Secondly, the only way to deal with the housing crisis is to saturate the market with low-income housing. And a lot of what is in our landfill is building materials. So we can source this, and we can use those building materials and repurpose them for the tiny homes, which is going to bring down the cost of the pricing for our houses in our local communities as well. So there's a lot of things that we can do to solve this problem, but it's a complicated issue and it takes a lot of work and it's not going to be done overnight. But the main thing is investing in the infrastructure and the houses and making sure that we take care of those loopholes that billionaires are taking advantage of and creating stricter laws to keep people from doing that in the future. Because I don't know why the richest man on the planet needs a tax cheat.
Thank you. Bernard
Cavallo. As you say, agriculture is a big part of who we are as an island. We come from oil plantation days and living in Kialua camp setting. So that whole camp setting thinking, I think, needs to come back and we need to support that. Agriculture is a big part of who we are. At the same time, I'm really passionate about looking at gap housing again. I mentioned that earlier and how we can work together to reap the benefits of different levels from the federal, state, county levels to bring back that home, because we want to keep our children home. I'm a grandpa now. I got 6 grandbabies, and we want to make sure that they can stay home and we can enjoy them, like all of my colleagues up here. So anyway, as mayor, I would definitely look into that. I would definitely provide the support from my cabinet members, reaching out, bringing back the information, and getting it done, and ensuring that whatever we do, the input of our community is very important. That's my style of leadership, and at the end of the day, it may seem longer, but the end result is better for everybody. Because why? Everybody had a say. Mahalo.
Thank you. Laura Lindsay.
That was like a multi-layered question, and you only gave us a minute, but ag should be for ag. So, yeah, what they said. Make sure the rules are for ag. Talking about housing, though, but we've been calling it a crisis for decades, and we've never treated it like an actual crisis. When you're in crisis, like after a disaster, all options are available to you. So we need to bring in more options and find out what's going to work for our island families. You know, whether it's a revolving loan to make modifications to your house so you can have a multifamily household. If you, you know, you need a loan to do an ADU or, you know, whatever you need, because we want to empower you so that you can participate in this economy and your families can prosper. We don't want to just create a whole community of renters. I want all of you to live and thrive and grow and give every opportunity to the next generation.
Thank you so much. Though this concludes our mayoral forum. Thank you so
we
much.
Have power. We have so much more to say.
I know.
No, we're going to stay. We're going to go outside. We want to talk to all of you. I know you have questions. We don't have all the answers, but we know where to find them, and we can get it done. Thank you, Kauai.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you so much for all of your attention to this mayoral forum. As they said, definitely talk to your candidates. They're outside, they're inside, they're wearing leis, you can find them. Mahalo one more time to the Philippine Cultural Center, to Malama Kauai, and to Hapa for this moderation of...